بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the world. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We start in this blessed masjid, Masjid Furqan, a new series of lessons, bi tawfiqillahi jalla fil ula, with the guidance of Allah. And the series of lessons which we are starting and we're going to study together is studying a treatise which was written by one of the great ulama of this time, the imam of this era, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimullah, called Ad-Durus al-Muhimmah li'ammat al-Ummah, important lessons for every common Muslim of the Ummah. Ad-Durus al-Muhimmah li'ammat al-Ummah, important lessons for every Muslim, every common Muslim from the Ummah. And of course, the virtue of knowledge and the importance of knowledge is not hidden from anybody. Rather, our religion is built upon knowledge. And worshipping Allah upon ignorance is not accepted. The only ibadah which is accepted is when ibadah is done upon knowledge. Allahu la yu'bad ala al-jahl. Allah isn't worshipped upon ignorance. He's only worshipped upon knowledge and insight. So seeking knowledge and learning about your religion is of utmost importance. For this reason, the first command which was revealed was Iqra, read and recite. The first command of the Quran, read and recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge and learning is an obligation upon every single Muslim. However, knowledge is of two types. There is a type of knowledge which every single Muslim has to learn about. Male or female, old or young, literate or illiterate, you have to know this level of knowledge. And then there is a second level of ilm, of knowledge, which is an obligation upon a small number of people of the ummah, not every single Muslim. So the knowledge which is an obligation upon every single Muslim, it is fardu ain. It is an individual obligation. And this is knowing, firstly, the Aqeedah of a Muslim, At-Tawheed and its opposite, As-Shirk, Arkanul Iman, knowing Iman in Allah, Iman in the Prophets, the Messengers, so on and so forth. All of this is Fardu Ain. All of this is an obligation upon every single Muslim. How can you be a Muslim and you don't know regarding your Lord? How can you be a Muslim and you don't know At-Tawheed and Allah created you for At-Tawheed? How can you be a Muslim and you don't know the basics of Al-Imanu Billah wal-Imanu Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir? You don't know. This person is not a believer. And also, it is an obligation upon a person, upon every single Muslim, to know about those fara'idh, those wajibat, which are an obligation upon you. Meaning, the salah, you have to know about the salah, fardu'ain. From the age of 10 years old, when salah becomes an obligation, then you have to start learning about as-salah. Because if you don't know the rulings of as-salah, then maybe your prayer is broken and you don't know it's broken. You're praying the wrong number of raka'at. You're leaving something out and this has invalidated your salah and you didn't know. So you have to know about as-salah. You have to know about at-tahara. Because from the conditions of as-salah is at-tahara. If you don't know how to make wudu, how to perform ghusl, what breaks your wudu, maybe you broke your wudu and you did not know. And therefore your tahara and your salah is not accepted from you. When it comes to fasting, as-siyam, then it is fardu ain, it is an obligation upon every single Muslim to learn about fasting. The rulings of as-siyam. If it is time for you to pay zakah, you have enough money to pay zakah, you have to learn about the rulings of az-zakah. If you are going to perform hajj, you have to learn about the rulings of hajj. Otherwise, you are not able to perform hajj. And this is fardu ain. This is the obligation upon every single Muslim. This is what is meant by طلب العلم فريضةٌ على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. It doesn't mean that every single one of us has to go to Medina or has to go to Yemen or India or Somalia to go seek knowledge. No. But the basics of your aqidah, the basics of your iman, at-tawheed, your salah, your tahara, you have to have knowledge regarding. Then there is a second level of knowledge, and this is fardu kifaya. This level of knowledge, it isn't an obligation upon every single individual, but it is an obligation upon certain people, i.e. the ulama and the tulab al-ilm. And this is everything else besides what we have mentioned. So for example, usul al-fiqh, usul al-tafsir, mustalah hadith, ilm al-jarh wa ta'dil, and so on and so forth. All of this is now fard kifaya. This isn't an obligation upon every single person. As long as some of the ulama and some of the tulab al-ilm are studying it, then it is sufficient. This book, this treatise, which Al-Imam Ibn Baz, rahimullah, which he authored, he said, الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة. Important lessons for every common Muslim. Meaning that which is contained in this book, it is fardu ain. So the Shaykh, rahimullah, the treatise he wrote was very concise, very brief. He only mentioned those things which are an absolute obligation upon every single Muslim. And this is also from the mannerisms of the Salaf. If you consider the books which were authored by the Salaf, you will find very little words, but many deep meanings. And like this, Ad-Durus al-Muhimma, which Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah wrote, very few words. It's only a treatise or a pamphlet. But he concentrated on what is most important upon every single Muslim. We mentioned previously that when a person seeks knowledge, you have to think about al-muhimmat, about priorities. And you have to do that which is most important, and then that which is less important. And this is why we have chosen to study this book, because it is important for every single one of us. Not as a da'i or as a teacher, but as a Muslim. That we know first the contents of this book, and then afterwards we can teach it to others. Also, my brothers and sisters, the obligation upon you is that if you study this book and you understand this book, then you also teach it to other people. It doesn't mean that you have to give fatawa or you have to have big lessons, but at least in your masjid which you are there, you take some children, for example, you teach them Ad-Durus Al-Muhimmah. Your family members, father, mother, uncles, auntie, cousins, children, wife, so on and so forth, you sit with them and you teach them Ad-Durus Al-Muhimmah. And this is the obligation upon you. That after you seek knowledge, then you have to teach others. And every single one of us is a da'i. Every single one of us is a caller to Al-Islam. A da'wah, it isn't only the job of the imam or the responsibility of the khatib. Rather, every single person is a da'i to Allah. With his actions, with his statements, with his manners, with his morals, every single person has a responsibility. And what you have to do, my brothers, is find your responsibility in your masjid. In your masjid, there is a need for people to fulfill certain responsibilities. You need to find your role within that masjid. So some, for example, who have an expertise in IT, the masjid is in need of those types of people. Find your responsibility and fulfill your responsibility. Often, in most of the madaris, in the masajid, the teachers are lacking English or basic skills, and the majority of you here, if not all of you, can speak English to a good level. So the least which you can do is in the madrasa, for example, give an hour a week or 2 hours a week and teach them the basics of Al-Islam. There are amongst us here brothers who are Arabs. Masajid lack teachers who can teach the Arabic language. 1 hour, 2 hours a week to your local masjid, in which you gather some of them and you teach them the Arabic language. And this doesn't mean a person gives fatawa, gives rulings, ahkam. No, you teach that which you know, according to your ability. And before we go into teaching the actual book itself, first we'll read from the muqaddimah, the introduction which the author wrote. He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He said, all praise is for Allah, Rabb, the Lord of the worlds. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the final abode, the good abode, it is for the people of At-Taqwa. He began with Alhamdulillah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would begin his sermons and his address to the people by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in copying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the author, he began with Alhamdulillah. The Mus'haf, the first surah of the Mus'haf is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The author, he was imitating the Quran in beginning his treatise with Alhamdulillah. He said, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good ending is for the people of At-Taqwa. Al-Aqiba meaning Darul Akhira. That the good ending in the Akhira is for the people of At-Taqwa. Like Allah said in the Quran, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah said it in the Quran that the abode of the hereafter, Darul Akhirah, we make it for those people who don't want authority or ascendancy upon the earth. Wala fasada, and also they do not cause corruption upon the earth. He said, Wal aqibah lil muttaqeen. And the good ending, it is for the people of At-Taqwa. Al aqibah ay Darul Akhirah. The hereafter, may Allah make us from the people of At-Taqwa. And what is the meaning of At-Taqwa? The ulama, they mention various definitions of At-Taqwa. Amongst them are those who said that the meaning of At-Taqwa is أن تعمل في طاعة الله, that you do righteous actions out of obedience to Allah. على نور من الله, according to light from Allah, meaning guidance from Allah. ترجو ثواب الله, hoping the reward of Allah. They said التقوى, it is أن تعمل في طاعة الله, that you do actions in obedience to Allah. على نور من الله, according to the light of knowledge and guidance from Allah. ترجو ثواب الله, hoping the reward of Allah. وَأَن تَتْرُكْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ, and that you leave alone disobedience to Allah. عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, according to guidance from Allah. تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ, fearing the punishment of Allah. What is At-Taqwa? It is for a person to do deeds of obedience, of ta'a, upon knowledge, upon nur, huda, guidance, hoping the reward of Allah. And to stay away from disobedience of Allah due to knowledge which Allah has given you, fearing the punishment of Allah Jalla fil ula. And this is the meaning of At-Taqwa. He said, wa sallallahu wa sallama ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Then he sent peace and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and all of his companions. He said, أَمَّا بَعْد, thereafter, فَهَذِهِ كَلِمَاتٌ مُوجِزَةٌ, that these words, i.e. this treatise, it consists of very simple, brief words. And this was the way of the Salaf. As I mentioned, the books that they wrote were very little words, but the meaning was something which was very deep. في بيان ما يجب أن يعرفه العامة عن دين الإسلام. And these brief words will explain what every common Muslim has to know, meaning as a wajib, as an obligation from Deen al-Islam. That which we are going to read, every single Muslim has to learn about it. It isn't only for the ulama or for the imam. Every single Muslim. سَمَّيْتُهَا الدُّرُوسَ الْمُهِمَّةِ لِعَامَةِ الْأُمَّةِ And I have entitled this treatise الدُّرُوسَ الْمُهِمَّةِ Important lessons. لِعَامَةِ الْأُمَّةِ For every common Muslim from the Ummah. وَأَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمِينَ And I ask Allah that He benefits the Muslims by it. وَأَنْ يَتَقَبَّلَهَا مِنِّي إِنَّهُ جَوَّادٌ كَرِيمٌ And that Allah accepts it from me. Verily Allah is Jawad Kareem. And the meaning of Jawad is the one who is kind. And the meaning of Kareem is the one who gives. And both of them are names of Allah. Al-Jawad and Al-Kareem. Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O man, O human, what has made you negligent regarding your Lord who is Al-Kareem? Who is the one who is generous? He gives and he gives and he gives. From the beginning of creation, Adam alayhi salam, up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, every single creation, every single person, Allah gives and gives and gives. Because He is Al-Kareem. And yet people are negligent regarding Allah, Jalla fil Ula. La yunqisu mulkahu jood. Allah giving and giving from the beginning of the time to the end of the time, doesn't take anything away from His dominion. Nothing away from His kingdom. And this was the introduction which was written by the Shaykh. After this book, just as an overview, it contains 18 lessons. This book, it contains 18 lessons. And the first lesson is regarding Surah Al-Fatiha and some of the shorter chapters or passages of the Quran, beginning from Surah Al-Duha all the way to Surah An-Nas, Qisar As-Sur, from Surah Al-Zilzala or Zalzala to Surah An-Nas. Because Surah Al-Fatiha, every single Muslim has to know, otherwise his prayer it is not accepted. And as for the shortest surah of the Qur'an, because these are the surah which we memorized when we were young and we recite in the prayer, so the minimum that a Muslim should know are Qisar As-Sur. The minimum that a person should know, every single Muslim, is from Surah Zilzila to Surah An-Nas. If one day, for example, you need to lead the prayer, at least you have with you a surah by which you can lead the prayer. And therefore we need to know these chapters of the Qur'an and what they mean, the basic meanings and the basic tafsir of these chapters. And then the second dars, the second lesson is regarding al-shahada. Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah wa shahadat anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Why is this important? Because a Muslim cannot be a Muslim without saying La ilaha illallah. And once he has said La ilaha illallah, it will not benefit him until he knows the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And he knows the shurut and the conditions of La ilaha illallah. If a person just merely said La ilaha illallah and doesn't know anything about it, then how has he accepted Islam? He has to have knowledge, he has to know what it means, and so on and so forth. And the same with Shahadat anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And then the third lesson is regarding As-Salah. This is the third lesson. Because As-Salah, it is the most important pillar or action from Al-Islam. And then after that, the rest of the pillars of Al-Islam, i.e. Al-Zakah and Al-Siyam and Al-Hajj. All of these, he talks about them. All of this is under the second Dars. So the first Dars was regarding tafsir of the smaller surah of the Quran, Qisar al-Sur. The second Dars is regarding the five pillars, starting with the Shahadatain, and then the Salah, and then the other three pillars of Al-Islam. The third Dars is Arkanul Iman. What are the six pillars of Al-Iman? Al-Imanu Billah, wa bil Malaika, wal Kutub, wal Rusul, wal Yawm al-Akhir, wal Qadri Khayrihi, wa Sharrihi, the six pillars of Iman. And this is the Aqeedah of a Muslim. The meaning of Al-Aqeedah is knowing about the six pillars of Al-Iman. So if a person doesn't study the six pillars of Iman, then he doesn't have the correct Aqeedah. And this was the third lesson. The fourth lesson is Aqsam al-Tawheed wa Shirk. The different levels or types of Tawheed and the different types of Ash-Shirk. And this is important because a person might do an action and he doesn't know it is shirk, and yet he has left the fold of Islam. Why? Because he doesn't know Tawheed and neither does he know shirk. And Jannah was created for the people of Tawheed. Jahannam was created for the people of Ash-Shirk. The divine books, they were revealed for Tawheed. Humans were created for Tawheed. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ The messengers were sent for Tawheed, to warn against Ash-Shirk. موازين القسط, the scales of justice which will be placed upon the earth on يوم القيامة to measure التوحيد. The most important obligation is التوحيد. So we have to learn about التوحيد. Then the fifth lesson is regarding الإحسان. Because in the hadith of Jibreel عليه السلام, first the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned الإسلام, and then he mentioned الإيمان, and then he mentioned الإحسان. And so the author, from the Tawfiq and his intelligence, is he organized the lessons this way. The second lesson was regarding Al-Islam and the five pillars. The third lesson was regarding Al-Iman, and the next pillar was regarding, the next lesson was regarding Al-Ihsan. The sixth lesson is Shurut al-Salah, the conditions of the prayer. What are the conditions of the prayer which you have to fulfill before you start praying? The seventh lesson is Arkan al-Salah. What are the Arkan or the pillars of al-Salah? And these are the most important actions of al-Salah. If you leave a Rukan, whether it is intentionally or even out of forgetfulness, your prayer is not accepted. Your Rak'ah, it is not accepted. So an-Nisyan wa Sahu, forgetfulness, or doing something unintentionally, when it comes to the rukun of the prayer, it is not an excuse. Your prayer is not accepted. So we need to know what are the arkan of as-salah. After this, the eighth lesson is wajibat as-salah, the obligations of as-salah. And then the ninth lesson is bayan at-tashahud. He explains at-tashahud. What is tashahud and what is the meaning of at-tashahud? الدرس العاشر, the tenth lesson, is regarding Sunan al-Salah, the recommended actions within the Salah. And then the 11th Dars is Mubtilat al-Salah, those actions which invalidate and break a person's Salah. The 12th lesson, Shurut al-Wudu, the conditions of al-wudu. Because wudu is the first condition of as-salah. So now we need to know what are the conditions for making al-wudu. The 13th lesson, al-dars al-thalith ashar, furud al-wudu, the obligations of al-wudu. The 14th lesson, nawaqid al-wudu, those matters which invalidate and break a person's wudu. The 15th lesson, الدرس الخامس عشر الأخلاق المشروعة لكل مسلم, the manners and the morals and the etiquettes which every single Muslim should have, like truthfulness and being trustworthy, and al-afaf, having modesty, and al-haya, shyness, and so on and so forth. And then the 16th lesson is some of the practices of al-Islam, like giving as-salam and adab as-salam, and eating with your right hand, and the etiquettes of eating, and manners with your parents, and manners with your relatives, and so on and so forth. And then he warns against shirk once more, and some of the types of a shirk. He mentions some of the major sins, and then the final, and all of this is the 17th lesson, At-tahdhir min ash-shirk wal-mubiqat, the types of shirk, a warning against a shirk, and the major sins. And then the 18th lesson is regarding the rulings of al-janazah, of burying the deceased, and washing the deceased, and the janazah, and the dua, and visiting the graveyard, and so on and so forth. So you can notice from these 18 lessons, he only concentrated on those things which were most important to the people. It wasn't important to him that he wrote a big volume or many words, rather concise, brief words regarding the obligation upon every single Muslim. And bi-idhnillah ta'ala, in the next lesson, we will start with the first chapter. That which is requested from the brothers is, we mentioned that the first lesson is from Surah Al-Fatiha and then Surah Zalzala all the way to Surah An-Nas. Next lesson will be Surah Al-Fatiha. Of course, you have already memorized Surah Al-Fatiha. If you are able to, if you have a friend or the Imam of the Masjid, go to him, sit with him, and correct your recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. And even amongst yourselves, amongst you will be those who are better at tajweed than others, those who have memorized some of the Quran over others. So cooperate with each other and sit with each other. The second lesson, those who have not memorized Surah Zilzala, then do so and revise it and help each other. So even if you were to come to a dhuhr maybe 15 minutes before and recite to each other and read the translation of the surah to each other, this will be good. And like this up until we finish Surah An-Nas. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.